Man, that ending. That ending was not good. That ending was not good at all. I'll tell you what, man. 4 weeks in a row, Sami Zayn and the U.S. title open challenge has been the highlight of SmackDown for a month. And I actually am dreading the day that Sami actually loses the championship because I don't know what this show is going to look like in the absence of these matches. But holy shit, I am not looking forward to that. Sami Zayn and Javon Evans. That was the highlight of the night. They were in Orlando. Javon Evans, of course, the 21-year-old phenom from NXT, who is wrestling at No Mercy tomorrow night. He showed up and stepped up for the open challenge and had a great match, a banger of a match with Sami Zayn. One of those matches that I think we'll look back on years from now as the first real breakout moment for him on the main roster, even though he's not officially on the main roster yet. I very much enjoyed that match. I wish I could say the same about the main event on this show, but I cannot. I cannot. We had Tiffany Stratton, we had Jade Cargill, and we had Nia Jax for the WWE Women's Championship. The winner would go on to meet Stephanie Vaquer at Crown Jewel because they're doing these champion versus champion matches again, brand versus brand. And the only person in this match that really made sense was Tiffany Stratton. Even though she's been undefeated this entire year, and I'm already over this run, and it's not even entirely her fault, the SmackDown women's division sucks. There's no competition for her. It's boring. They desperately need some new faces in this division. Calling up people, moving people over from Raw, whatever they need to do. The division is in dire straits right now. And Tiffany Stratton was the only name, though, that really made sense for the match with Stephanie. You're not going to do Stephanie and Nia. You're not going to do Stephanie and Jade because Jade's not ready to be in that spot. But they're having a match. And, I can't even say, I'm not going to say the match was terrible. I don't think the match is as good as some of you were saying it is. I didn't think it was a great match at all as far as the main event goes, but it really fell apart towards the end. And Jade Cargill came up busted open because she ate the steps. Courtesy of Nia Jax. Nia Jax threw her into the steel steps, and Jade got all of it. And she came up, and she had a gash on her face. There's blood all over the floor. And from that moment on, the entire finish of this match, the entire finishing sequence of this match completely fell apart. And it wasn't just that she got busted open. That was really just the beginning of it. But she gets busted open, and she gets back in the ring with Nia, puts Nia down with one of her signature moves. Tiffany is supposed to break up the fall, but she's late, so Nia has to kick out. And then Jade gets dropkicked. Tiffany covers Nia. We're supposed to get a three count, and the referee counts one, and the referee counts two, and Nia's still laying there, shoulders flat on the mat, and the referee holds up her count. I don't know what the referee was expecting. I don't know if she saw a ghost. I don't know, but she held up the count. The arena went silent. Tiffany had her back turned. She hears the silence of the crowd and is like, what's going on here? And you can see Nia look up and go, what happened? And the referee is just, it's one of those moments where I feel bad for the referee, because put yourself in the referee's position here. You realize in this moment you're on live television and you have fucked up the ending of this match, right? These three women, whatever you thought of the match. And again, I've seen much better SmackDown main events than this. But whatever you think of the match, you never want to be in a position where you feel like you've ruined a match, right? And you're not even one of the combatants in the match. I'm sure that she feels really badly about what happened. It looked awful. And so they sat there and they had to figure out, well, what do we do now? And the easiest thing, right, the path of least resistance was just have Tiffany go up and hit her moonsault. And that's what she did. So she actually won with her finish and retained her championship. But in that instance, you've got to count to three. And that was a Vince McMahon thing. I don't know if that's still the policy now in WWE where you have to call it as a shoot. But that makes sense. Because when you're in a situation like this, and this is live TV, this is not, you know, like a house show match or something. You're on television. It's the main event of the show. You only have so much time left before you go off the air. I don't know if she got lost. I don't know if there was a miscommunication somewhere. But if you see somebody on the mat and they don't kick out, that's on them. That's not your responsibility. So as the referee, it makes a lot of sense that you would count it as a shoot. And if the person doesn't get their shoulder up, if the person doesn't kick out fast enough, you blame the wrestler. You don't blame the referee. So again, I don't know what was going through her head. I don't know what the hell happened there, but it was a botchtastic finish to a triple threat main event. Now we know what the Crown Jewel title matches are going to be in Perth next month. I mentioned Sami Zayn. His match with Javon Evans was the highlight of the night. Jacob Fatu is back, right? I'm trying to pull little positive pieces out of the show here. Jacob Fatu is back. He's going to be in a program now with Drew McIntyre, who we have to wait and see what happens here. I will be very surprised if it ends up with Drew McIntyre doing a one-and-done program with Cody Rhodes. It can't be one-and-done for Drew McIntyre. That would be completely ridiculous. But for the time being, anyway, he is moving on to Jacob Fatu. They set things up for a future match, I would assume, Perth, but future match between the two of them. So I was happy to see Jacob back. He's been in the witness protection program now for many, many weeks. And beyond that, I don't really have a whole hell of a lot to say about this show. SmackDown, for me, continues to be a slog to sit through every single week. You could say that SmackDown this week was marginally better than it was last week. Cool. SmackDown is still not a great show. I'm still waiting for SmackDown to heat up again. Like it was a year ago. There was a period of time where SmackDown was actually the A show during the week, more so than Monday Night Raw. That, of course, is not the case right now. SmackDown, though, just feels like a very dead show. I think of all the WWE shows week to week, this is the one that feels the most empty. This is the one that feels the most dead right now. And the crowd didn't help. The crowd in Orlando obviously was very nonplussed by a lot of what they saw on this show, unless your name was Javon Evans or Sami Zayn. That they were very much into. But SmackDown, for me, it just doesn't do much. That's why I keep talking about the U.S. Title Open Challenge when it's over. What the fuck is this show going to look like? It has been consistently the highlight of the week every single week. In many ways, just like the John Cena U.S. Open Challenge was 10 years ago. So when Sammy stood in the ring with Cena a month ago and said, "Look, out of respect, I want to ask your permission to bring back the U.S. Title Open Challenge," I said, man, if he can recapture even some of the magic of the one that Cena did 10 years ago, we're in for a treat. And it's been a huge net positive for this show, because there's not a whole lot else going on to really get you excited on Friday night. Thank God for the U.S. Title Open Challenge. I never thought I would be sitting here lavishing all of this praise on an open challenge, as if we don't get enough of those these days. But what would we do on Fridays without it? I don't know. I don't want to know. We'll talk about this SmackDown show. It is Friday night, September 26th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Yes, Nakamura. I'm going to mention Nakamura. Oh, my goodness. Jay is on another planet, I see in the chat. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. Let me know what you thought of this SmackDown show. Let me know if I'm right or wrong. You chime in. We'll read your messages a little bit later on. Thank you guys for all of the support this week. Channel members, all of our new channel members as well. Shout out to all of you. You know who wasn't on the show tonight? Corey Graves. Corey Graves got murdered by Brock Lesnar on the show last week. Michael Cole said he's going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and in his place on this show tonight, we had Booker T, loaned over from NXT. So we had Michael Cole and Booker T on the call. Booker T should, we didn't get any devil's kisses, but Stephanie was technically on the show tonight. So Booker should be kind of pleased with that. I'm sure he's missed Stephanie's presence on NXT. So they gave us a WrestlePalooza recap. The less said about that show, the better. It is in the rear view. After that, Paul Heyman was in the ring. He said that he would paraphrase a pseudo de facto secondary champion and ask, "So, Orlando, what do you want to talk about?" Heyman asked if we would like to talk about the world heavyweight champion Seth Rollins. I can answer that question. No. Fans chanted OTC. Heyman says he would love to talk about Roman Reigns, but it's disrespectful to speak of the injured after he got stretchered out of Paris. So he asked if we could, maybe we should talk about the man who will main event WrestleMania. and carry this company through the 2030s and possibly even the 2040s, if we make it that far. Bron Breakker. Heyman then turned... By the way, how must Bronson Reed feel after... Oh, every time he makes these comments about Bron Breakker and how he's the future, right? Bron's the future. He's going to headline 5 or 10 WrestleManias. Like, at some point, Bronson Reed is going to have to turn to Heyman and go, hey, I'm standing right here. What about me? How come I can't headline WrestleMania? Maybe that'll be the impetus one day for him to turn and leave the Vision, because he's sick and tired of Heyman putting over Breakker and not putting over him with the same level of respect. I mean, the man is standing right there. How much older is he than Bron Breakker? He can't be that much older. He could headline a wrestle. Conceivably, he could headline a WrestleMania himself one day. I know it's a lot less likely, but it's at least possible. Heyman then turned his attention to the conspiracy theories and all the rumors about Brock Lesnar. Before he could go on further, Cody Rhodes' music cut him off, and out comes the WWE champion. Comes to the ring, and he asks if we've all had a chance to watch the WrestlePalooza recap. He said that he made a mistake last week in calling Paul Heyman a goon. He called Heyman the smartest man he knows, and he would go ahead and ask the question, tell me about Brock Lesnar. And then he asked for the truck to show the evidence, and they threw up a still shot from Brock's introduction that Heyman gave to him at WrestlePalooza. And in the shot, Brock has got a big smile on his face, and Heyman's got a big smile on his face. Cody said he knows Brock Lesnar. Does that look like the face of someone if it was a one-night thing? He asked, am I talking to an oracle? Am I talking to a wise man? Or am I talking to an advocate? Heyman said Cody was talking to a goat. Not an elephant. Not a cow. Not a zebra. Not a sheep. Not a monkey. He was talking to a goat. And as the greatest of all time, he respects the fact that Cody is confronting him about Brock Lesnar, because Cody knows that when Brock Lesnar is here, everyone is in danger. And at that moment, Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, they appeared at ringside. They came out of the crowd and into the ring, and Heyman said, Lesnar isn't here, but what makes Cody think he isn't in danger right now? Cody says he keeps hearing how dangerous these two men are, that they're going to inherit all of this. Breakker, he'll bet that Heyman tells him he's a future WrestleMania main eventer. And Reed, he probably tells you the same thing. Actually, he doesn't. Not that we've heard on TV. I've never heard Paul Heyman say that about Bronson Reed on TV. Maybe he tells him that backstage. But Cody is trying to point out that whatever he's telling you, he's probably telling you. He's telling you what you want to hear. He's making you sound special and making you feel like you're one of one. But in reality, he's saying the same thing to the both of you. This man cannot be trusted. You cannot take what he says seriously. And he says, I grew up the son of a booker. Thought he was going to say the son of a plumber, but that was his father. Said he grew up the son of a booker, grew up around people like Heyman. He saw Vern, he saw Bill Watts. As some of the fans in the crowd no doubt go, who? Vern? Troyer? Who's he talking about? Bill Watts? Bill what? Makes me sad. It makes me sad how many people were in this crowd tonight who probably have no idea who he was referring to. But that's just the way it is now, right? That's the audience they're cultivating, especially with these ticket prices. You think these people paying these exorbitant amounts of money know or give a shit who Paul Bosch was? Of course not. Of course not. They don't care. They don't know. They don't care. They just want to see Stephanie Vaquer, and they want to see Rhea Ripley, and they want to chant for mommy. That's what they want. That's wrestling fans in 2025. But he said he saw it all, and he could always tell why they were doing it. The Vern Gagne's and the Bill Watts, right? You can always tell why they were doing the things they do. With Heyman, no one has figured him out yet. Who is Paul Heyman loyal to? One thing is for sure, it ain't you. So Bron Breakker got very upset, and he ripped his shirt off. So Cody took his jacket off, he took his watch off. He says, it looks like you boys want to fight, huh? Probably not a good decision on my part, but what the hell? And he starts throwing shots. So Cody had Reed hooked for a crossroads. Breakker, though, took him down, so now it's 2-on-1. And they're stomping him. and we hear voices in our head because here comes Randy Orton. I actually was hoping that maybe this would be the moment that Jacob Fatu would come out and maybe it would set up a TV main event. We didn't get Jacob Fatu here. We got him later. We got Randy Orton. And he comes down to the ring. Before he could even get into the ring, Bronson Reed exits, tries to cut him off in the aisleway. And Orton puts him down. Now he's in the ring. He sets his sights on Bron Breakker. He goes for an RKO, but he gets shoved off. But he gets shoved off right into Bronson Reed and gives Reed an RKO instead. And that was pretty much the end of the segment right there. The Vision were scrambling for their lives out of the ring, and it was Orton and Cody left alone inside the ring. And I thought maybe they were setting up a tag team main event. Didn't occur to me that they were going to close the show with the women. I thought maybe they'll, you know, do that match at the top of the second hour or something, but that was our main event. But we're going to get a tag team match. It feels that way. Cody and Randy against The Vision. It's not going to be Crown Jewel, obviously, but that could be a SmackDown main event. I don't know about next week or the week after, but it feels like a match we're going to get very soon. You know, he mentioned Brock Lesnar. Fightful is saying that Brock is not due back on TV for a while, which I'm fine with. Let him take another vacation. But it actually felt like they were teasing Cody possibly defending his championship at some point in the not-too-distant future against Brock Lesnar, which I don't need to see. We've already seen it. They've already had three matches before. And Cody beat him decisively at SummerSlam the last time, and Brock put him over and raised his hand. There's no need to see that again. So hopefully him bringing up Lesnar was just feeding into, like he said, the conspiracy theories and the questions about whether or not Heyman is really back with Brock or not, and not a sign of something more that we're going to be getting between Cody and Brock, because I don't want to see it, because we already saw it, and we don't need to see it again. Now, after this, we got, speaking of things that I don't need to see again, we had the Street Profits, who were back on the same page. And there were no signs of any sort of animosity or any miscommunications between them tonight or anything like that. They put their differences aside, at least for now, and everything is cool with the Street Profits. They were in action next. They were taking on Carmelo Hayes and The Miz. The winners of this match would be the number one contenders for the WWE tag team titles. After a break, Miz drilled Montez Ford with a kneeling DDT. Michael Cole brings up that on social media this week, or on social media of late, The Miz has been lobbying for one last match on this retirement tour with John Cena. We've wasted enough time. We've wasted enough of John Cena's retirement tour. We don't need to waste more of it. One of his last few remaining matches on The Miz. So I don't know if he brought that up for a reason or if he just brought it up because he felt like bringing it up. But let us hope that is not one of John Cena's final matches here on this retirement tour. We're getting John Cena and AJ Styles at Crown Jewel. Great. That's an old match that I would love to see them run back. I'm glad we're getting that match. If you were to ask 50 people, if you had the pen here, if you had the pen and you can book the remaining four matches at most that John Cena has left on this retirement tour, okay? You put your top five names on the list. None of those 50 people would have The Miz in the top five. I'm sure Miz would love to wrestle John. Everyone wants to wrestle John Cena. Everybody on that roster wants to wrestle. Joe Hendry was lobbying to wrestle John Cena. Of course, Miz wants to wrestle John Cena. Question is, does anybody want to see The Miz wrestle John Cena? The answer is no. No, they don't. Not at this point. Maybe if it was January, you could do a Raw match. It ain't January. It's almost October. The next time we do a SmackDown review, it's going to be October. Ain't nobody want to see that match. Hayes got the tag as he delivered a cheap shot to Angelo Dawkins on the apron. Meanwhile, Montez Ford managed to fight his way out of enemy territory. He tried to tag in Dawkins. Miz, though, pulled Dawkins down off the apron outside. This allowed Hayes to hit Ford with the first 48, and then Hayes headed up top. He was looking for his finish. He was looking for nothing but net. But as he's up top, The Miz once again selfishly tags himself in. But Ford, or not Ford, but Hayes grabs him. I think by the wrist, he's holding him. And Miz is like, what are you doing? Yeah, he looks back at him like, what are you doing? Because Hayes is tired of this, right? He's tired of Miz stealing the glory. So this gave the Profits a chance to make a comeback as Dawkins rocked Miz with a corkscrew elbow, followed by a spinning neckbreaker. And with Ford as the legal man, he took to the skies with the big frog splash. Now, Ford had him covered. Hayes went to go crawl into the ring and had plenty of time to break up the pin. But he stops himself. He hesitates. He decides against it. And he just watches as Montez Ford pins The Miz. And that there go their chance to challenge for the tag team championships. Bye-bye. The Street Profits are once again number one contenders for the WWE tag team titles. Melo don't Miz? Yeah, they'll have to wait for another day. That day is not today. After the match was over, the Wyatt Six, all of a sudden, they appeared. They're standing around and sitting on the announce desk outside, just watching on. So yet another title match for the Street Profits, which Michael Cole said would be coming down the line. So even they don't know when this match is going to take place. I'm sure it'll be a TV match. It needs to be a TV match. We don't need the Street Profits. We know how limited the real estate is on these Triple H PLEs. We do not need the Street Profits and the Wyatt Six on a PLE. So they could do that on SmackDown any week they want to. So we don't know when, but we know that match is going to be coming. It doesn't inspire any excitement for me. We weren't even supposed to get that match in Paris, right? That was going to be Andrade and Rey Fénix. And because of what happened with Andrade, they basically went with the Street Profits as a fallback. But we got it. You know, it wasn't terribly memorable. Now we're going to get it again. Do they circle back to this idea of maybe splitting up the Street Profits where something goes wrong in that title match? And that's it. That's the straw that breaks the camel's back. And you've got Dawkins breaking away from Ford or Ford breaking away from Dawkins. It could still happen. You know, they were on the best of terms tonight, but that doesn't mean that if they lose, which they will, when they wrestle the Wyatt Six, that they still don't do a split. They've been teasing it for so long now, it's like, just make a decision. Either do it or don't do it. You know, but the teases will only take you so far because we've already gotten that so many times and nothing ever comes of it. They always just patch things up and everything goes back to normal. But at this point, like the Street Profits and the Wyatt Six, it's just not a terribly exciting match. So I have to think if they're doing this match again, there's a reason for it. But it doesn't necessarily mean they're winning the belts. What else could it be? It could only be one other thing, which is a breakup. And even if they break them up, there's no guarantee of success for either one of these guys. Even though you would think someone like Montez Ford is a slam dunk, there's no guarantee. But I do think it's probably a risk worth taking because the Street Profits, they've hit a wall. They've hit a wall. What else is left for them to do at this point? I'm drawing a blank. I don't know, you know, that upward mobility that you always want to have in your career. It's like they've hit that ceiling. They can't break through. That ceiling is rock solid. So you got to make a decision. What do you want to do? You know, where do you want to take these guys? But I mean, as far as Melo and Miz, there's nothing wrong with the story that they're telling with these two. We got some new movement, at least in the direction of a split based on how that finish went down. Obviously, that's going to cause some issues between the two of them. The way I would describe it, it's a perfectly competent story that they have been telling with them on the show. And for anybody who feels like this is the best story that is going today on SmackDown, to me, if you honestly believe that, and I'm not even sure that's really a wrong statement. It probably is the best story going right now on SmackDown. To me, that's an indictment. That's an indictment on SmackDown if this is the best storytelling that we have right now on Friday nights. I don't look at that as a positive. I look at that as a negative. If that's the best that they can offer here on SmackDown. So yeah, it's a perfectly competent mid-card story. But if that's the best they got, whew, that ain't good. Now, as Jade Cargill was interviewed backstage about the triple threat match tonight for the Women's Championship, the new Women's World Heavyweight Champion, Stephanie Vaquer, showed up. And she confronted Jade, and Jade told her that a storm would be coming her way at Crown Jewel, and Vaquer told her that she would be ready. We had Julia and Kiana James against Meechan and B-Fab. Oh, man. You know, when I saw Julia in NXT, if you would have told me that I would be reviewing a Julia match on SmackDown once she gets called up, and she's not only is she called up, but she's the United States champion. They put a belt on her. I'd be like super excited, right? To see the ascent of Julia. And here I sit and I don't know. I feel defeated. I feel nothing as I watch this. Evidently, the crowd felt nothing too, because they weren't terribly excited or animated watching this match. I feel nothing watching this. B-Fab opened by blasting Kiana with some strikes. She got taken down by a clothesline by Julia. B-Fab responded with a drop kick to Kiana, and she tagged Meechan in. Julia then tagged in, and the U.S. champion struck Meechan with a kick. She got met with a Hurricane Rana, and the tag got made to B-Fab. She kept Julia grounded, and the champion rolled outside for the retreat. Things broke down. The champion got blasted by a drop kick off the announce desk. A shotgun dropkick by Meechan, which took us into the commercial break. B-Fab was in trouble. Kiana re-entered the match and maintained the upper hand. There was a missed elbow that allowed B-Fab to create some separation. And she tried to tag in Meechan, and she got the tag. So Meechan dropped Kiana with a DDT. She using Julia as a base for it. Things broke down. Meechan hit Kiana with Eat Defeat, but that sent her into Julia's corner, which allowed her to tag in, and she flattened Meechan with the Arrivederci knee, followed by a Northern Lights bomb for the win. This was depressingly flat. Crowd did not give a shit about this match. It was a struggle to pull any sort of reaction, maybe little pockets of a reaction here and there, but it was a struggle to pull a reaction out of these people. I can't blame them. I mean, the match itself was very paint by numbers, right? I mean, the right person won, but it was very paint by numbers stuff. The crowd is not invested in any of these people. Like, you can watch Raw, for example. And when Rhea is out there, when Liv Morgan was on the show every week, when Stephanie's out there now, Io, when she's out there, like, you can tell, even on this show, Tiffany, right, still very popular. There are certain people the crowd is very heavily invested in. And that's also the product of them being on television for many years and repetitions, right? They're on the show every single week. There's people feel like they have equity in some of these characters. And so you can very easily tell when the fans have no connection and no investment whatsoever in somebody on the show. They have no investment in Julia, even though she's been the United States champion for a few months. They have no investment in Kiana James. They have no investment in Meechan. They have no investment in B-Fab. Because of that, you end up with a match like this, which just feels very flat. And there was nothing they did in this match that was necessarily wrong. There was nothing in this match that was also going to really change any of that. It was a match. And you would suspect that it might lead to a title match between Julia and Meechan. You know, again, even though Julia beat them, I mean, she won the match. I'm not sure why we need to, continue this other than the fact that there's nobody else. And so when I've said before that this women's division is in dire straits right now on SmackDown, this is what I'm talking about. This division, and this just highlighted it right here, they desperately need to call up some new faces or move some faces over from Monday night. But they desperately need to call up some new faces. And funny enough, in the very next segment that came after this match, we had Zarya and Sol Ruka from NXT, who confronted Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, who were in the back. And Zarya was very disrespectful towards the tag team champions, but they wanted next. They demanded a shot at the women's tag team titles. And it was Alexa Bliss who told them to get in line and earn it first. And Charlotte was very impressed at the way that Alexa told them off. But that was the segment. So they set that match up. But Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka is going to be a big star in that women's division on Raw or SmackDown. You know where she needs to be? SmackDown. SmackDown could use Sol Ruka a lot right now. Frankly, you could put Sol Ruka and Zarya on the main roster, but Sol Ruka in particular. And then there's other people from NXT who don't really need to spend that much more time in NXT. Blake Monroe, Jordan Grace. You take two or three names and maybe just dump them all, frankly, on SmackDown. That's how badly the women's division on SmackDown could use these people. And I think it would make all the difference in the world, but it's going to take time yet. Like, if they called a bunch of people up next week, they're not all going to be over on day one. I mean, Sol Ruka, I don't think it's going to take too long for her to get over with that soul snatcher. In the way that Javon Evans was able to kind of grab the crowd by the throat tonight. We'll get to him in a minute. But even if they call people up next week, some of these women, it will take time to get that crowd investment in them. That just is not there yet for Julia, because they just really haven't given people a reason to get behind some of these women. And now Julia is a heel, obviously. So when I say get invested in them as a heel or a babyface. When you're invested in someone, you're reacting to them. You're cheering them, you're booing them, you're chanting, you know, fuck you, Julia, fuck you. You know, there's an investment there. The people are expending energy. They're bringing signs. They're starting chants. They're invested. There's none of that here. There's nothing to get excited about. There's no interesting, compelling matches that we could sit here and fantasy book right now for the SmackDown Women's Division. Not one. Not one. That has to change. You can put a belt on Julia if you want to. You can call her a champion. She's got a cool entrance. It's not going to matter if she doesn't have somebody, the Batman to the Joker, right? We use that analogy a lot. She's the champion. She needs a great challenger to be programmed with and to be working with. Who is that person going to be? It's not going to be Meechan. It's not going to be B-Fab. Who's that person going to be? That person doesn't exist right now. And as long as that person doesn't exist, Julia is fucked. She's stuck. She needs someone. She needs that person to work with, or this U.S. title reign is going to go down the drain. It's already halfway down the bowl. Call some people up. Hit the panic button and get some new people on this show. Please, for the love of God, save this division. Drew McIntyre was out to the ring next. He had his foot in a walking boot, the one that he injured at the end of the match with Cody at WrestlePalooza. McIntyre said that Orlando held a special place in his heart. It's where he made his WWE return in 2017. It's where he won his second WWE championship in front of a bunch of screens. Boy, he really can't let that go. He really can't let that go. He's been crowing about this for years now, about his title run being in front of a bunch of screens inside the Thunderdome. I mean, look, I sympathize with the guy, but brother, you got to let it go at some point. I mean, you had your shot at WrestlePalooza and you kicked the table and you lost. That's on you. But he said that he should have been here tonight as the new WWE champion. Were it not for the referee, he might have been. Were it not for the referee getting in the way at WrestlePalooza, he said it took the referee 6 seconds at one point to count a pinfall. And then he pointed out the referee getting in his path outside the ring when he went to go give Cody another Claymore kick through the side of the announce desk. Remember the referee? He jumped out of the ring. He got in the way. No, no, no. You can't do that, even though what's so illegal about it? And I think Drew even pointed out in this promo, like, throwing Cody into the ring steps, not a disqualification, but here he wants to disqualify me. That should be my choice. What are you getting in my way for? But he said, you know what? He forgives referee Ryan Tran because he has a family to feed. So instead, he blames Cody Rhodes. Nick Aldis comes out, SmackDown general manager. He comes out on stage. And Aldis said, you know, I saw some things from your perspective. You're not totally wrong in what you're saying. but he told him not to make excuses because you're better than that. He saw McIntyre kick the announce table at WrestlePalooza. He also said McIntyre didn't get that walking boot from WWE Medical. And then McIntyre went on a rant. Oh, yeah, WWE Medical. May as well. I got it from my own medical. I should have gotten it maybe from Cody's medical. So Aldis said the referee's decision was final, and that's that. And he left. That was it. He left. McIntyre continued to complain until he was interrupted by Jacob Fatu's music. And I was like, holy shit, they found him, finally. What was once lost has now been found. It's about damn time. Fatu headed to the ring. He took the mic from McIntyre. He told him, man, shut your ass up. He said McIntyre comes out and complains every week and blames everybody else. He told him to sit his peg leg ass down. McIntyre took the mic back and said Fatu had a great run over the last year, but he's Drew McIntyre. And he started to say what he was going to do to him if he wasn't hurt. Fatu took the mic and said McIntyre must have forgotten he's all gas and no brakes. No, actually, if Solo Sikoa is correct, he's all gas and no brains. I have to give Solo credit. That line has stuck with me. It was actually a great line. McIntyre hit Fatu with a Glasgow kiss. Fatu sold it for a moment. Then he turned and he super kicked McIntyre. Fatu ripped the walking boot off of McIntyre's foot and hit him over the head with it. Michael Cole said Fatu had the guts to say things to McIntyre that a lot of people have wanted to tell him. And Fatu had a jersey. I think he had a jersey on. I don't remember. But he ripped it off. He had a shirt on and it was backwards. I love how his shirts are always on backwards. I don't know why. I guess that's his thing. He puts it on backwards. I'm here for a McIntyre-Fatu match. I would be very surprised if McIntyre and Cody ends up being a one and done. Obviously, it was never going to happen at Crown Jewel because they have to do the champion against champion stuff. But I think Survivor Series, you got to run it back in some form or fashion. Not only did you do Cody and Drew WrestlePalooza, potentially making it a one and done, but the way it ended, Drew beat himself because he kicked the desk. He kicked the desk and injured himself. He went to go give him a Claymore kick in the ring after that, and he collapsed under the weight of his own foot. The man beat himself. And now we're just going to move on because it's time to do Crown Jewel, and it's going to be Cody and Seth. Okay, great. That's October. But there's a pay-per-view in November called Survivor Series, and you could do Cody and Drew. You could do Cody, Drew, and Randy and make it a triple threat because Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre have issues as well. I actually like that idea more. There's so many different ways that you could go with that. And we heard a report this week, I think it was BodySlam.net, that Cody and Drew themselves had pitched an alternate finish to their match at WrestlePalooza where Randy Orton would have accidentally cost Cody Rhodes the WWE Championship. And it would have led to Cody having to chase Drew to get the belt back and then getting it back. And then after that, pulling the trigger and Randy Orton then turns heel on Cody Rhodes. I think that's a great fucking idea. And just because they didn't do it at WrestlePalooza doesn't mean they still can't do it. They can. There's still time. And Survivor Series, you do a triple threat match. Guess what? Randy Orton could accidentally cost Cody the match. You could do some variation of that finish. And Drew McIntyre could leave Survivor Series the WWE champion. Even if Cody just gets the belt back at the Rumble in Saudi. Okay. Or Elimination Chamber. Okay. So what's so wrong about that? This show is in dire need of a shakeup in many ways. Like I said, shake up the women's division, get some new faces in there. I look at the top of the card right now. John Cena is done with SmackDown. Brock Lesnar, we're not going to see him for a while on SmackDown. Roman Reigns is really not on SmackDown anymore. I mean, Roman Reigns is on whatever show they want him to be on. So you look at the top of the card. You have Cody. You have Randy, right? You have Drew, I guess, although now he's sort of moved down a peg. And there's not a whole lot else going on at the very top of the card on SmackDown right now. They got the MFTs. So Cody is the champion. Drew is still talking about being screwed out of the championship. Randy Orton's running around going after Drew. Do a triple threat match and do a title change. There's no harm in taking the title off Cody and making him chase to get it back 2 or 3 months later. There's so many different stories that you could tell with him and Randy and how that might branch off. Do it. Stop playing it safe. Do it. He plays it safe too much. I'm not saying play hot potato with every belt and change it every other month, but my God, don't be afraid to shake things up a little bit. I don't know what they're so fucking petrified of. This week's episode is sponsored by Green Chef. Summer's over, and that means fall is upon us, my favorite season. Mainly because Halloween is my favorite holiday, and that means it's not far behind. That doesn't mean I like stuffing my face with candy corn, though. I don't. In fact, now that the grill is off and the burgers and hot dogs are gone, it gives me a chance to hit the reset button and get back to eating healthy. And with Green Chef, the number one meal kit for clean eating, I can do just that. And you can too. Green Chef makes it easy to spend less time in the kitchen and more time enjoying the fall. And with their new Heat and Eat meals, you can enjoy a delicious meal in just 3 minutes. Green Chef recipes feature fresh, organic, seasonal produce and 100% responsibly sourced proteins to help you feel your best. We're talking real, clean ingredients that help you build lasting, healthy habits without the hassle. Enjoy salads ready in just 5 minutes, protein-filled breakfasts, or nutrient-filled smoothies to fuel your day. With more than 80 dietitian-approved weekly meal options, Green Chef makes it easy to find meals that fit your lifestyle, from Mediterranean and gluten-free to plant-based and protein-heavy to gut and brain health and calorie-smart options, too. The recipes change every week, and with week-to-week flexibility, you can just adjust your plan to match your mood and your schedule. I've tried Green Chef myself, so I can speak to the quality of the meals that I've had delivered to my doorstep. One of my favorite meals I've had was their chicken with basil pea stew, with roasted red peppers and jasmine rice. Just delicious. And you look at some of their upcoming meals on their menu. Pork fillet with lemon dill sauce is a great high-protein option. Or maybe you're a fan of the baked lemon pepper tilapia with feta, if you're counting those calories. Whatever you're in the mood for, they've got it. And as far as getting everything together, it couldn't be easier. They list out everything you need, any food allergens you need to know about, which is important. Even better, it saved me a ton of time before getting ready to go live and talk some wrestling with you guys, since I only have so much time in the evening before getting ready to go to work. But even if you're a 9-to-5 person and your night is wide open, you're probably tired when you get home. The last thing you want to be doing is spending an hour or two getting dinner ready, right? Green Chef takes care of that for you. Make this fall your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Head to greenchef.com/50solomonster and use code 50solomonster to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for 2 months with free shipping. That's code 50solomonster at greenchef.com/50solomonster. Backstage, Tiffany Stratton was getting ready for the main event. Stephanie Vaquer showed up and was sizing up her potential challenger, Crown Jewel. Just like she did with Jade earlier, Stephanie said that she would be watching the triple threat and maybe they'll meet at Crown Jewel. And Stratton said that she respects Stephanie, but if they meet in the ring, it will end with Tiffany becoming the Crown Jewel champion. We'll see, said Stephanie. Now, elsewhere in the back, Sami Zayn was chatting with Rey Fénix, who I guess just showed up to the show to hang out in catering, and now he's having a conversation here with Sami Zayn. And he asked Sammy, who do you think is going to answer your open challenge? He botched the line. He had one line. He fucked it up. I forgot what he said. He said, like, who do you think challenge you or will challenge you? Whatever. He bungled the one line. He was supposed to be asking him, who do you think is going to accept the open challenge? And Sammy said, oh, I don't know. You know, it could be anybody. It could be somebody from Raw. It could be somebody from SmackDown. He goes, hey, we're in Orlando. Teasing that maybe it might even be somebody from NXT. As he was talking, Shinsuke Nakamura was in the background, lurking in the shadows, as Sammy was talking. Not the first time that has happened on SmackDown in the last few weeks. I would love to sit here and pretend that I am as excited to see Sami Zayn against Shinsuke Nakamura as I was in 2016 in Dallas when I was third row ringside at NXT TakeOver, and I saw one of the best live matches I've ever seen. I would love to still be sitting here 9 years later and have that same enthusiasm, but I can't. I can't, because the Shinsuke Nakamura that I saw that night is not the same Shinsuke Nakamura that we see today. And I'm not just saying because he's 9 years older. That's true. But so is Sammy. And Sammy's still going out there having banger matches. There's a lot of reasons why I no longer feel that way about Shinsuke Nakamura. So I can't get excited over it. I do wonder if that's the Crown Jewel match, if they were going to have a U.S. title open challenge match at Crown Jewel. I think in front of that crowd in Perth, they might be able to turn it into something special. But, you know, that last U.S. title run that Shinsuke had, if you could even call it a run, as the U.S. champion, was just fucking garbage. I have no interest in seeing him challenging or winning the U.S. title. It's the last thing I want to see. But Sami Zayn was out for his United States Championship Open Challenge. And accepting the Open Challenge was Javon Evans, the young upstart from NXT. 24 hours before his match with Josh Briggs at No Mercy tomorrow night. The two of them locked up to start. Evans dodged Sammy before he got tossed around with arm drags from the champion. In the corner, Evans delivered a chop to the chest. Then he backed off. In response, Sammy got in some chops of his own. Evans answered with a springboard clothesline, followed by a leaping Rana off the top rope. And then Javon sent Sammy to the outside. He was looking like he was about to take flight. Sammy, though, put a stop to that with a hard lariat that took us into the commercial break. We came back with Sammy having Evans on the ropes with a chop, and the challenger fought out of it. He threw Sammy outside and then connected on a soaring dive out over the top rope. Inside, Evans countered a blue thunderbomb attempt and answered with a springboard enziguri. Sammy tried for a diving move off the top. Evans ran up the ropes, though, and delivered an avalanche, hurricane rana, and this looked great. Even just leaping up into the air for the hurricane rana, like he got mega height on this thing. And so he pulled Sammy off that top rope, and Sammy took a hell of a bump. He took a haluva bump, you might say. In the corner, Evans, and by the way, that nearly won him the title, but not quite. In the corner, Evans tried to run at Sammy. He got caught with an exploder suplex. A haluva kick attempt was thwarted by a drop kick right on the button by Evans. Another attempt at a haluva kick was again countered. Evans dodged it at the last second. This left Sammy stunned, and Evans connected with an OG cutter for a great near fall. This thing, again, was a fucking just thing of beauty. And the crowd, again, super invested in this, hanging on to every near fall, chanting, "This is awesome." They were fully invested in this match. Evans headed to the apron for a springboard. He miscalculated, though, and he ended up in the corner. After a roll through, Sammy immediately made him pay. As he turned around, he ate a haluva kick, and Sammy followed that with a blue thunderbomb for the win. To retain the championship, after the match was over, Sammy congratulated the kid. He is still a kid. 21 years old. I mean, by WWE standards, look at the fucking roster. Most of the top names on the roster are at least 45, I feel like. 42, 45, 48. So by those standards, yes, he's a kid. Even though he is a grown adult. But when you compare it to the other people on this roster, it's okay to call him a kid. But he got the fans to cheer for him. I don't think Sammy needed to work too hard to get the people to do that. I think they were cheering for him anyway. Let me just say that haluva kick into a blue thunderbomb at the finish there, that needs to be a permanent thing going forward. I love the idea that the haluva kick is the immediate setup to the blue thunderbomb and that being the finish. I really hope that becomes a thing with Sammy going forward. This was a hell of a match. That's now four straight weeks. He did it with Cena. He did it with Melo. He had that great match with Rey Fénix. Here tonight with Javon Evans. This U.S. title open challenge has been the highlight of the night on this show. And this was also a nice follow-up to the little interaction that these two had backstage at the NXT Homecoming show. When Sammy gave Evans a little pep talk in the back. So that was, what was that, a week ago? 2 weeks ago? So this was a nice little follow-up to that. Evans as a prospect, obviously the company has very high hopes for him. Michael Cole on commentary during this match actually said he's a future WWE champion. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's a future WWE champion just yet. Does he have the potential to be that big? He has the potential, absolutely. He's still only 21 years old, which is pretty incredible when you consider the body of work he's already put together in NXT. And he's had the chance to work with a bunch of different people. Wrestled Randy Orton, right? He was the hand-picked opponent for Randy Orton when Randy Orton wrestled on that one episode of NXT in St. Louis last year. He had that program with Ethan Page. He had that great match with Oba Femi not that long ago. So he's very, very impressive when you watch him in the ring. There are certain people, like, they get good hang time on some of their offense. You know, Montez Ford, we saw him on this show with the Frog Splash. And we know the hang time he gets on that. But you watch Javon Evans and he makes it look effortless. You know, when he's flying around or, God, was it the match with Oba where he took that just ridiculous bump? He did this dive out over the top rope, and I think he cleared the announce desk, and he crashed and burned. It was just a hellacious bump. But the way he flies around the ring, and when he comes off with that OG cutter, it looks great. You know, there's a smoothness to his offense, so he's a lot of fun to watch. And he's still very young, and he's only going to grow and get better and, you know, cut more promos and just sharpen his skills. I mean, that's why he's in NXT right now. And it's too soon to call him up to the main roster. I mean, let him cook for a little bit more down there. There's plenty of other people on the NXT roster right now that are ready for a call-up when they're ready to call them up. You know, Javon Evans, I think, has to win the NXT championship first before I would even think about calling him up. But he's been one of the success stories of the Performance Center. So this was great stuff. When Sammy finally loses that title, this show is going to be in some real trouble. Seriously. Unless they really shake things up a little bit. When he drops that championship and we don't get these open challenge matches anymore, I shudder to think what this show is going to look like. In the back, Nia Jax was walking when Chelsea Green and Alba Fire showed up. Chelsea offered her a spot in her secret Hervis because they're down a member. For those who don't know, Piper Niven is injured, and Piper Niven has a neck injury. And apparently it's a pretty serious neck injury. And they are in the process of deciding how this neck injury is going to be treated, whether it's going to be surgery or rehab. But we're not going to be seeing Piper Niven for a while. So we need a new agent, I guess, in the Secret Hervis. Nia Jax was not interested in joining the Secret Hervis. So the paper that they handed her, she tore them up. She walked away. And she ran into Stephanie Vaquer. And Stephanie wished her good luck. Nia says that she could drop her right now, but she would rather wait for Crown Jewel. Elsewhere in the back, Damian Priest came upon Kit Wilson of Pretty Deadly, the same guy that he put through a wall on last week's show. That's why Kit Wilson was in a wheelchair. And he's sitting there. I love the idea that this man is sitting in a wheelchair. They flew him into work. This man was injured on the job, thrown through a wall. He's in a wheelchair. You got to come to work. You can't wrestle, but you got to come to work, and we'll just sit you in a little corner in the backstage area, and you could sit there just ranting about toxic masculinity. This is what Damian Priest came upon in the back. So Priest is, he's being told, you know, you're toxic. So Priest starts to sort of menace him, like he's about to do something to him. And we got some comedy here. Kit Wilson, he had gotten up. He went to go turn to run away. He did a pratfall. Ha ha ha. It's funny. He did a pratfall, and then Priest tells him, bitches be tripping. Then we hear a voice. It's Aleister Black, the man the Priest is actually looking for. And Damian turns around right into a Black mass kick. Down goes Damian Priest. Black says that he and Priest might do this until only one man is left standing. And then he wishes Priest a happy birthday in a very sarcastic way. Well, gee, I wonder what that means the stipulation of their next match is going to be. Gee, I wonder. What kind of match could it possibly be? It is Damian Priest's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Damian Priest. 43 years old today. They closed the show with the triple threat match for the WWE Women's Championship. It was Tiffany Stratton defending against Nia Jax and Jade Cargill. The match started off with Nia throwing Tiffany into Jade. The champion struck back with a double drop kick to both women. And they went to a commercial break. We were a minute into this match, and they went to a commercial break. They came back with Tiffany flying out onto Nia with a suicide dive that did not land well because her legs hit the ropes on the way out. Thankfully, she didn't land on her head like she did when she hit that moonsault outside the ring a couple weeks ago and looked like she concussed herself. I don't know if she actually concussed herself or they were worried that she did, but that's why we didn't see her wrestle at WrestlePalooza. Later in the match, Stratton headed to the top rope. She hit a swanton bomb onto Nia, but immediately got put down by a super kick from Jade, which ended up actually making her fall backwards on top of Nia. She had her pin, but Nia kicked out. As Nia kicked out, we got yet another commercial break. Jade and Tiffany, they teamed up to deliver a double superplex to Nia off the ropes. And when Nia is still recovering, Stratton took Cargill down with her rolling senton, but then she connected on the prettiest moonsault ever to Nia, who was still down. Jade had moved out of the way. Otherwise, both women would have eaten the moonsault. So she was able to avoid it. Jade easily was able to break up the pin attempt. Stratton countered Cargill's powerbomb into a Hurricane Rana. And as Tiffany ran towards Jade in the corner, she got caught. She was promptly dropped with a modified Jaded. She got a one. She got a two. Nia comes over and saved the match by pulling the referee out of the ring at the very last second. Outside the ring, now Jade is angry. And Jade is outside the ring. She clears off the announce desk, but she got thrown into the steel steps by Nia. And when I tell you that Jade Cargill ate the stairs, she ate the stairs. And this is where she came up very badly busted open. And this is where the finish of this match, the finishing sequence of this match, totally fell apart from this point on. And I can make a joke about Nia Jax injuring somebody. I will say, though, that we have not heard any stories about that recently. That was certainly a storyline of her last run in the company. I think she's been on her best behavior over the last year, year and a half. We don't hear too many stories about Nia Jax, you know, injuring people. And she's had some really good TV matches. So it's been a while since we've heard about Nia hurting somebody in the ring. But it was almost as if she was making up for lost time here, because it wasn't just that Jade got hurt. She was badly busted open. She had like a fucking gash right above her eyebrow, blood pouring out on the floor everywhere. And she didn't notice it at first. But when she finally noticed it, she smiled and she looked over at Booker T and the announcers and made a comment to go about how I made her bleed. And so Nia was, she cleared off the top part of the steps. So we had the flat part. And she was going to do some sort of suplex from the steps. Jade countered by getting her on her shoulders, and she dropped her with a Samoan drop on the flat part of the ring steps. Jade was then shown, I mean, the camera was right up in her face. They didn't shy away from this. That's how you could see how bad the cut was. And then they had more of a wide shot with the hard cam. The referee was checking on the cut. And the match kind of stalled out here for about, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds. In the ring, Nia got dropped by an Eye of the Storm from Jade, which is one of her signature moves. So Jade had the match won. And she's sitting on top of Nia. Tiffany Stratton was supposed to break up the pin. Tiffany was late. And you could even see, I think Nia even looked over and could tell she wasn't going to make it in time. So Nia was not supposed to kick out on her own, but she had no choice, right? You got to improvise. So she kicked out. And as soon as she kicked out, now Tiffany comes in with a drop kick and she drop kicks Jade. And then she covers Nia. She was going to steal the pin to retain the title. So she covers Nia, and the referee, Daphne LeShawn, she drops down. She counts one and she counts two. And then she pulls up her count. And I'm watching Nia. Her shoulders are down. Tiffany's got the leg hooked. Nobody interfered. Nobody grabbed the referee. I don't know where Jade is. Jade's drowning in a pool of her own blood. She just held up the count. I don't know what happened. I don't know if she was of the impression that there was another spot coming. She got confused. Whatever the case was, the wrestlers sure were confused. The crowd was confused. The announcers were confused. I was confused. And she, I'm sure, felt like total shit as the wrestlers are looking at her going, what happened? I don't know. The phantom kickout from Nia Jax. I mean, this, you could just hear the crowd. It was so awful. The air just got sucked out of this crowd. It's like the finish, and again, I don't want to make it sound like this was the only botch of the match. Like, this whole finishing sequence was just botchtastic. It's like the finishing sequence of the match was already sick, and then this spot here, the phantom kickout, just killed it dead. That was just the death blow that put it out of its misery. So now what do, right? Well, the easiest thing to do, just tell Nia to stay down and have Tiffany go up and hit her moonsault. Her actual finish. That's what she did. She went up top, she hit the prettiest moonsault ever, and she got the 3 count to retain the title. Which was the right outcome. Would have been the right outcome even if the referee had counted it like a shoot, because again, Tiffany would have won. But it was the right outcome. There was no other match with Stephanie at Crown Jewel. I mean, that made sense. Stephanie and Jade, that would not have been the right move to make. Putting the title on Jade right now was not the right move to make. Putting the title on Nia would have been worse because she hasn't. They only just brought her back to TV recently just to throw her back into the championship picture. Nobody wants to see that. So this was the correct move to make as far as the outcome of the match. And after the match was over, Stephanie Vaquer made her way down to the ring to get a better look at her opponent at Crown Jewel, and they each held up their respective championships. But I got to be honest with you. Like, I didn't think this match was all that great even before the finishing sequence. I'm not saying it was trash or anything like that, but it wasn't that good. And the finishing sequences made it so much worse. It just completely fell apart one after another after another. You know, from Jade being busted open the way that she was, Tiffany being late on breaking up that second to last spot, and then, of course, the mother of all spots in this match, the actual supposed finish and whatever the hell happened there. And I mean, that was pretty much the end of that. So it ended things on a sour note, but I can't sit here and tell you, man, this was a great match that was ruined by the referee. It was not a great match. And then it was ruined. It was a solid match that was ruined there at the very end. So the Crown Jewel title matches are now set. We know it's Seth and Cody. We know it's Stephanie and Tiffany. And do we have any other matches that are... Yes, Cena and AJ. John Cena, which is the match I'm looking forward to on that show. John Cena and AJ Styles. Cody and Seth will also be a really good match if their past matches are any indication. Stephanie and Tiffany should be good. Should be good. I mean, you never know. I don't know that they've worked together. Have they worked together before? I don't know. But the Crown Jewel card is incomplete, but already it's shaping up to be better than WrestlePalooza. We'll see how the rest of the card shapes up. But yeah, this episode of SmackDown, again, it had its moments. When it was over, though, I'm not sitting here going, man, what a great SmackDown. I could sit here and tell you that it was better than last week's show, but, you know, again, I feel like I'm heaping faint praise on this show. SmackDown is greatly lagging behind Raw. This show needs a shot of adrenaline in its soul. Cody's trying, man. He's trying with the adrenaline in his soul. It's not enough. We need some soul on this show, all right? We need some soul Ruka. That's what we need. What did you think of SmackDown from Orlando? 40% give this show a thumbs up. 29.6% give this show a thumbs in the middle. And 30% give this show a thumbs down. So 40 up, 30 down. So far for SmackDown from Orlando. SmackDown from Orlando is in the books. Let's go through your super chats. See what you guys thought. The Arizona Zombie says he voted thumbs in the middle on this show. Anobi says, remember, Solo, WWE can't go over 5 matches on the PLE. I know. They get fined by the FCC if they go over 5 matches. That's the rule. That's the new rule that's been instituted. You go over 5 matches, you get penalized. We got Death Scythe, who says, hear me out. What if LA Knight keeps losing until he beats John Cena in his retirement match, which could finally launch LA Knight into the stratosphere? I mean, that sounds really interesting, but no. No. That's not happening. Victor says SmackDown really needs Bianca Belair back. Yes. Yes, it does. And sadly, even just getting Bianca is not enough. But Bianca would be a nice shot in the arm for that women's division for sure. He says buy, sell, rent. Undertaker from the 90s, the 2000s, or the 2010s? Undertaker from the 90s. Undertaker from the 90s and then the 2000s and then the 2010s is dead last. Is Cody now Roman's greatest rival? Or is it someone else? I feel like I've talked about this before. I feel like it's got to be either Brock or Seth. So no, it is not Cody. And Victor says, buy or sell wrestler of 2000, Rock or Triple H? Yeah, it's tough because the company was really carried by the two of them in the year 2000. I hate to give much more credit to one over the other because they were both very important. Triple H was the chief antagonist that year. You know, every great babyface needs a great heel to work with. You know, Rock was great, but Rock needed Triple H to be that foil. And Triple H was in his best form in 2000, in 2001, until he got hurt. But again, he needed that, pun intended, he needed that rock-solid babyface to work with, and Rock was that guy. If I had to go for one over the other as far as the wrestler of 2000, I got to go Rock. We got Holiday 197. Hey, Solo. Considering AJ Styles announced that he will retire next year, the John Cena versus AJ Styles match at Crown Jewel will be a kind of double swan song. Here's hoping we get Gunther against AJ at WrestleMania. Yeah, I mean, that's what I said last night. That's, you know, on TNT. That should be the match of WrestleMania. If they get him to WrestleMania, because I think his contract is up before then, but if they could extend him out and get him one last WrestleMania match, I love the idea of Gunther being that guy. That's a match we've not gotten. Death Scythe, out of all the news this week, the one that had me in stitches was Kevin Nash having a certain reduction surgery. I guess he's no longer called Big Sexy. You know, there are some people who don't, I'm not saying it's you, but there are some people who don't get his sense of humor. Like, I saw that being reported this week as if it were legitimate news in some places. There was some, the Facebook pages are the worst, and these bullshit Facebook pages that pop up, and they're reporting it as like actual news. Deathside says, but in all seriousness, I'm glad he's okay. Yes. And I'm glad you could take a joke, unlike some people online who, like I said, took that a little too seriously. We got Jeremy Watley. Thank you for the 5, Jeremy. I hope you're having a good Friday night. Kind of bummed Jasmine Nix is leaving. She is green, but had a good upside. But respect to her standing up for herself from being allegedly lowballed. Yeah, I mean, Jasmine Nix was just kind of the third wheel of Fatal Influence to me. You know, maybe she had potential. I mean, WWE is not really losing much by her leaving, but good for her. I mean, if she felt like she was given a contract offer and the money wasn't what she thought it should be, then as with any job, you walk away. You walk away. However, it is worth pointing out that if she were ever called up to the main roster, supposedly the minimum salary of a WWE main roster performer, no matter how low you are on the card, you could be Akira Tozawa, you're making a minimum $350,000 a year. So if she was worried about not making money at a certain level, you know, if they were to call up Fatal Influence as a group, she would have been part of that and her salary would have been bumped. But there was no indication that that was going to happen anytime soon. I don't know what her financial situation is. So good for her. You feel like you are worth more than what you're being offered, then you take your services and go somewhere else. So she can go wrestle somewhere else, or she could start an OnlyFans like everybody else does. She could start an OnlyFans and probably be a millionaire within 2 months. I'd probably do the same thing. I'm going to start a Solid Monster OnlyFans. Then I can retire. Then I don't have to watch SmackDown anymore. Death Scythe. So the story behind Cena Styles at Crown Jewel is because they have been drowning in an Atlantic-sized swimming pool of bad creative. His retirement tour? Oh, you mean the company. Bad creative. They're trying to make the fans feel like they actually were able to will the match into existence, which is very cute. Even though the fans had nothing to do with any of this. Holiday says, I'll take Nia winning the women's U.S. title over Julia's reign. At least the title will have a more established name holding it. It could free Julia up to maybe feud with some bigger names. Like who? Who is she going to feud with? They've done nothing with her. They've done nothing. Who would she be feuding with at the top of the card that anybody would care about? The whole point is that they have not gotten the crowd invested in Julia. It's not a matter of she has to work with big names. She should at some point. But whoever she works with, you just got to come up with a good story and somebody that when you ring the bell, they could go out there and have really good matches because Julia is a really good wrestler. So she has to be able to work with somebody that she can show her skills in the ring with. But there has to be a good story. There has to be something there to grab you. And you don't have to be Charlotte Flair. You don't have to be, you know, Tiffany Stratton for that. There's no indication they have anything like that lined up for her right now. You know what? Honestly, you might just be better off doing that. Putting the title on someone like Nia. At least Nia knows how to get heat. Not Q Morris. Prediction. They bring Vince back for a story, and after a week it gets canned quicker than the fake death because he's named in the Epstein file. That certainly is a fantasy scenario. That will never, ever happen. Broly says, how is it fair to Julia and Tiffany that they are wrestling literal bots every week while Raw has Io, Rhea, Becky, Lyra, Kairi, Asuka, Roxanne, Liv, I mean, it's just for day. I say it every week. Like, I'm not lying. I mean, the imbalance is just striking. Where are we? We're still about, what, 50 likes away? 50 for Be the Booker? Not looking good. We actually got it for Dynamite this week. We may not get it for SmackDown, though. Deathside says, here's a match they could do for WrestleMania 42. Rhea and Io against the Kabuki Warriors against Charlotte and Alexa for the women's tag team titles. I mean, it's too early to be booking some of these women in a WrestleMania match. I mean, I could see Rhea in a singles match against Stephanie. I can see Rhea in a singles match against any number of people. Solo's favorite sicko. Are you looking forward to Collision tomorrow? Me too. I know you are. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to you looking forward to watching Collision. Enjoy the show. MacTub. Thoughts on Taker kicking Matt, ruining the show? Are you talking about Undertaker's podcast? I don't give a shit. I don't watch it, so I don't give a shit. It's Undertaker. I mean, it is what it is. It's Undertaker taking the money and wanting his show under the WWE banner. So he replaced his good friend with his wife. I mean, it's pretty obvious what happened there. But personally, me, I could not possibly care any less. Boots. Look at Boots. Oh, my God. Look at Boots, man, coming in with a $50 bomb. He says, I noticed CMLL was having a live show last night on YouTube, so I tune in, and they are having a cross-promotion with Pokemon. Seeing a packed crowd with Pokemon masks gave me the heebie-jeebies, so I slowly backed away, and I closed the channel. I mean, at least they weren't all sitting there in the crowd wearing those masks, like from the movie Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah, that would have been a little freakier to me. MacTub. I agree with Brett on Triple H, except that he never had a good match part. Said he's like an Edge Orton level talent, push like Hogan, cause of his wife. Thoughts? Yeah, I mean, again, Brett's got his opinion on Triple H. He's entitled to it. He doesn't like him. He's never liked him. A lot of it has to do with Montreal in 97 and his role in all that. And him palling around with somebody who at the time he didn't care for. But I always say, I've said it for years, that Triple H was the guy who worked with the guy. You know, he was never the guy himself. And when they tried to push him as the guy, which at times he might have been pushed as like the top star, but he was never the top star. Those periods of time were fleeting because he was never going to be that person. I think Triple H is a very good talent. I don't see Triple H as an elite level talent. By elite, I mean like if you were to make a Mount Rushmore of talent, and I hate using the fucking Mount Rushmore shit, but if you were going to make a Mount Rushmore and expand Mount Rushmore out to five or six people instead of four, he's still not on there. He's one level below that. Mikey S13, after the promo last week, is it safe to say that Tongaloa is the favorite to win the Royal Rumble? Tongaloa finishing his story. You'll notice I ignored the MFT segment tonight because I don't care. But yes, he says, after the promo last week, is it safe to say that Tongaloa is the favorite to win the Royal Rumble? Tongaloa finishing his story will feed families. It will. It will. And it, unfortunately, it will give those families food poisoning. And they will all die. Randy Bobandy. Thank you, Randy, for the $20 super chat. Been a while since I sent a super chat, so I return with a question. Favorite Seinfeld recurring side character? Frank is hilarious, but for me, Putty is the best. Frank Costanza, man. He's a tough one to top. I might have to go with Frank, honestly. But then you got Newman, though. Like, Newman was great, too. It's got to be Frank or Newman. I don't know. I think I might have to, I don't know, I might have to go with Newman, actually. As far as, like, recurring side characters, so, again, we're not talking about, like, one-offs. You know, like the Soup Nazi, or, the salesman guy. Who went cuckoo? Fuck, what was his name? Nah, it doesn't matter. Dev to Dust, buy or sell or rent, what is your favorite Mets team of the 21st century? 2006 Mets, 2015 Mets, or 2024 Mets? I mean, none of them won the championship, so it's kind of a pointless question. Last year's team was a lot of fun to follow, though, especially with the OMG stuff. Last year's team really did feel like this was going to be the year. But that's what they do, man. They make you they lull you in and they let you down in the end, time after time after time. But I would buy on the. I think I'd buy on 2024, then rent on 2015, sell on 2006. WrestleVotes noted the Jade getting busted open made them change the finish and for them to call the spots on the fly, which led to the confusion. Well, my point still stands, though. I mean, even more so, frankly, if that's the case, because if you're the referee and you're not even really sure what's going on, which, by the way, is just a really difficult position for a referee to be put in on the spot like that. But if that's the case, the only thing you could do is count it as if it's a real fight. You count it as a shoot, and it's on the wrestlers to do their job. And if they're supposed to get a shoulder up, if they're supposed to kick out, that's on them. As the referee, all you can do in a situation like that is just count it as a shoot. So I don't know. I don't know why she held up. But that's a tough spot to be in. Broly also says, Jordan, Blake, Soul, and send Lyra and Bayley to SmackDown. That's fine. I have no issue with that. Drew McIntyre's new gimmick is Bret Hart, 1997. We know how that ended. Is Triple H going to be out there for his match at Survivor Series this year when he wrestles Cody and Randy? Is Triple H going to be ringing the bell? Ragnarok. I have no interest in watching Cody and Seth hold these titles until WrestleMania. Get Knight, Drew, Punk, and AJ some runs. AJ especially before he retires. Yeah, the best you could hope for with AJ is maybe Intercontinental. He's not going any higher than that. But yeah, I mean, I said this the other night. I'm sure they're going to return to Seth and Punk at some point and do at least one more match between them. I'm done. Like, I'm over it. I have no interest in it at this point. Like, they've been feuding for 2 years now. Enough's enough. You know, I mean, again, there's a difference between long-term storytelling and taking your time and letting some stories cook over a period of time. And then there's whatever Triple H does, which is he feels like he's Martin Scorsese and we tell the best stories. And so we're going to take our time with all these stories. And, oh, this is so great. We have to really drag this out for as long as possible. But then he drags it out for so long that by the time you get to the end of it, nobody cares. That's the risk you run. Right? I mean, not everything can be the Cody finishing his story thing with the Bloodline at WrestleMania 40. And I feel like he's staked his reputation on that one story, and I'm struggling to find something else that I could point to that was anywhere near as good as that. But he just drags things out. Drags them out, plays it safe. Here we are now, Punk and Rollins, you know, still feuding. They brought the wives in, which added a little bit of a different element to it. I'm done with Punk and Rollins. That's it. Move them on to other people. I don't want to see this again. Let Seth work with somebody else. Let Punk work with other people. Enough of this. Enough. Deathside says, fuck it. I wouldn't mind seeing Cody, Drew, Orton, Fatu in a fatal four-way for the WWE Championship, and Fatu can just run wild in the match like a Samoan bulldozer. He just kills them all. Just let them loose. Holiday says they could have Grayson Waller answer Sami Zayn's U.S. title open challenge on the SmackDown before Crown Jewel. But it would be a stretch for Grayson to win the title in front of... Grayson Waller should not be winning the U.S. title. You want to have him answer the open challenge in Australia on TV? Fine. I wouldn't even do it at Crown Jewel. You want to do it on TV? That's fine. The idea of him winning the championship? They could be on fucking Mars for all I cared. Like, that would be awful. You don't have him be the one to beat Sami Zayn for the U.S. title. Broly says, reminder that B-Fab is making main roster money. B-Fab stuck it out. B-Fab pulling in the money there. Again, minimum $350. Assuming that's where she's at. I'm sure she's not complaining. Duff's Vids, when do you take a banana to the doctors? When it's not peeling well. Man, I first glanced at that. I thought that said something different. I thought that said they're not peeing well. I would say those bananas should go to the doctor and get their prostates checked. They have pills for that. MacTub. Better overall performer, Austin versus Rock. Well, I mean, they're two different types of performers. One's more of a brawler. I mean, Rock also was kind of a brawler. Austin in his earlier years was more of a technician than the injury. He had a changes in ring style. But they're both very entertaining, just in very different ways. I don't know, I like them equally. I think they both bring different qualities to the table. You know, I can't rank them on the spot. Duff's Vids says, if money doesn't grow on trees, then why do banks have branches? It's a good question. I don't really have a good answer for that one. I think Duff's makes a very good point. Mr. All Day, AJ All Day. Mr. AJ All Day. Says, here's an idea, Solo. Have Julia lose the U.S. title to a big name face like a Bianca so that you can boost the title like Becky boosted the IC title. Sadly, Bianca is also needed in the main event mix. I mean, if you want to elevate that United States Championship to the same level as the IC title, then that's what they're going to have to do. That's why I said, you know what, whoever it was before, I don't know if it was Broly or who it was, but mentioned putting the U.S. title on Nia Jax, you would think that that's something I would be vehemently against, but honestly, it might not be, for the U.S. title, for the sake of the title, it might not be the worst idea. It really wouldn't. I just don't see how that title is benefiting Julia. I mean, she holding it right now is not benefiting the U.S. title. But the U.S. title is not benefiting her because it was never established in the first place. That's the problem. So you're better off having somebody with a big enough name that they could help elevate the prestige of the title, which was never elevated in the first place. And maybe it's not Nia. Maybe it's some other, you know, bigger name that people are invested in. But it's pretty clear to me at this point that it's just not happening with Julia being in the situation that she's in. It's just not going to change. Duff's Vid says, why should you never fight a dinosaur? You'll get your ass kicked. Thank you, Duff's. Jurassic kicked. Now we're up to 390 on the likes. Nick Grosso says Dana Brooke forfeited the TNA Knockouts title and gave a speech that sounded like she was retiring. Says hope she's okay. Also, Kalani Jordan won the TNA Knockouts title. Well, I guess I don't have to watch it now. Thanks, Nick. Yeah, I mean, hopefully she's okay. I mean, you know, Dana Brooke as the Knockouts champion was certainly a choice. Not the best choice, but hopefully, on a personal level, hopefully everything's okay. If she forfeited the title, that sounds like an injury. So hopefully it's nothing too serious. Death Scythe. I bet if Steve Blackman hadn't gotten injured in the Brawl for All, he would have won, and then he would have killed and eaten Butterbean at WrestleMania 15. Oh, yeah, he would have. If anybody could do it, it's him. Mystic J44, buy or sell. Who was the better horror villain this year? Remick from Sinners or Gladys from Weapons? I got to go Remick. Arabian Night 2000. I bet Julia regrets signing with WWE. She's very wrestling focused. I think AEW would have been the better fit stylistically. Even Tekla is in a better spot. You know what? You're not wrong. Tekla is in a better spot. Tekla's actually wrestling matches, and she's in this grudge feud with Queen Aminata. She was just in the four-way at All Out for the Women's World Championship. You know what? You're not wrong. Now, whether or not Julia would, you know, agree with that, I don't know. I don't know if she's disappointed with how things are going, if she's just sort of caught up in the glitz and glamour of WWE. Like, Mariah May, it was always her dream to work for WWE. I don't know if it was Julia's dream. So, I mean, I can't get in the woman's head and know for sure, but Tekla's doing okay right now. Duff's Vids, what is a pilot's favorite flavor? Plain. Thank you, Duff's. We are currently at 414 likes. Thank you very much. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
All right, here we go. I'm going to try to book a better show than SmackDown tonight. Wish me luck. It's a little unfair because I have access to all these legends, some of whom are no longer with us. But I'm going to try to book a better card. Let's see how I do. I've already booked a better card. We have the Hart Foundation, Bret the Hitman Hart, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. There you go. I don't even know who the opponents are going to be, and I've already booked a better card than SmackDown tonight. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my. The Hart Foundation against the British Bulldogs. You want a tag team match? There's your tag team match. Now, you tell me, are you going to watch the Street Profits against Mello Don't Miz, or are you going to watch the Hart Foundation against the British Bulldogs? Don't answer that. It's a rhetorical question. I already know the answer. You're welcome. Look at all the bells. I haven't seen this many bells since Christmas. Look at all the bells in the chat. The Hart Foundation against the British Bulldogs. Now, on the women's side, we have Cora Jade, who is not even wrestling anymore. She's another one who I think is a millionaire now, off of her OnlyFans. She is the OnlyFans champion. Or is that still Mandy? Actually, it's probably still Mandy Rose. Cora Jade against Mayu Iwatani. Mayu Iwatani is wrestling Io Sky on the Marigold Show on October 26th. Get ready. Io against Mayu. An OnlyFans match. All right, main event. How about this? We'll make this the OnlyFans match. Don't blame me. He's the one who said it. This is going to be our OnlyFans match. Here we go. Will Ospreay in an OnlyFans match. This is what you people asked for. Will Ospreay in the main event in an OnlyFans match. against Damian Priest. Well, I mean, I'm not a fan of the stipulation, but Will Ospreay against Damian Priest is a fine main event. And that, right there, is a clean sweep. Looks like we only get one round tonight, but at least we made it a good one. No, with the women. No, somebody in the chat said an OnlyFans match, and I was already choosing for the main event, so that was your main event. MacTub says, why did Brett and Shawn not excel as the top guys? I think they excelled just fine. I don't know what criteria you're judging that off of. They're both in the Hall of Fame. They both held multiple world championships. And as bleak as business was at times during the New Generation era, it would have been far worse if they didn't have a Bret Hart and a Shawn Michaels at the top of the card. If all they had was Diesel and The Undertaker and Sid, then they would have been in far worse shape. But if you're comparing them to the likes of a Hulk Hogan, I don't even think I really need to answer that. It should be pretty clear why that was. And as far as your Taker's podcast one, I didn't miss it. You missed it. You got to go back and check it out. I read it before. It was on screen. Was that on a PLE stream or one of the weekly shows? Oh, you talking about the Hogan versus Hogan? Somebody asked about Hogan versus Hogan, the mirror match in Be the Booker. I think we did that. It might have actually happened more than once. But as far as what stream it was, I have no idea. I have no clue. That happened a while ago. I think it was Hollywood Hogan. Was it Hollywood Hogan against Hollywood Hogan or Hollywood Hogan against Red and Yellow Hogan? I can't remember. Corey says, we're still talking about Brett and Shawn 30 years later. They're still over. Yeah, I think they did actually quite well for themselves. We got Brett versus Brett in Be the Booker. Oh, we did, didn't we? It doesn't get any better than that. I think we had Kurt Angle against Kurt Angle once as well. Hey, Markel, a great stream, LOL. Thank you, Markel. I hope you're feeling better. Thank you, Markel. We also had a member chat earlier from Rican Sun, celebrating 46 months of membership. What a show live tonight. Definitely better than Raw from Tampa. Sorry about your Mets. Well, they're a sorry team, so it kind of makes sense. That's right. Rican Sun is he's Florida, man. So whenever they're in Florida for these shows, I always wonder if he's at the shows. We've had several Be the Bookers with EO against EO. It's another fine match. Well, we'll see, I guess, on Monday if we hit the goal and we do Be the Booker again. Maybe we'll do another mirror match. Maybe we'll do EO against EO. We'll do Rhea against Rhea. You never know what it's going to land on. It's totally random. It's totally random. Bash says, my Cubs are doing good. Well, good. I hope it all works out for you. I have no hate for the Cubs. Only the Phillies. I hope you do well. Asuka's newest video on her channel just uploaded. It's great. Oh, that's the Kana-chan channel. I think I'm subscribed. I'll have to check that out. She's got good stuff on that channel. Shout out to Olivia. Olivia, fan of the chat. I love this show. I love you too, Olivia. I hope you have a good weekend. I hope everybody has a good weekend. It's going to be a great Sunday because we have episode 931 of the sound off. All right, I will see you guys on Monday night for the Raw post show. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you for spending part of your Friday night with me. Check out episode 931 of the sound off coming up later in the afternoon on Sunday. Until then, take care, guys.